today must just be the day for the Alitoites. I want to ask another Alitoite to come forward. Greg Minnick, come on down. Come on, Greg. Greg's been here in this church now for, he and his wife, for a few years. And some of you heard these prophetic words today. Okay, you heard them. And then there's a voice that battles against that, saying, well, what about, what can God do? Will He really do it? Will He really do it? Will He work on your behalf? Well, Greg and I talked this week, and Greg's got a testimony of God doing an amazing, miraculous thing in his life. And so, Greg, we felt like he ought to come up this morning and share it with you to help build your faith. You sure may.
Before I start, could we all put out our Bibles to Psalm 103? It's an important part of what I'll be speaking about real shortly. Don't worry. I only got 5 minutes. But I thought we'd start at God's Word, which is the foundation of everything we have.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This verse was really given to me this morning. I've spent a lot of time praying about giving a testimony to the church. First of all, I just want to say, each of you, thank you for your prayers and just who you are. We're all broken and we're all redeemed. Hallelujah. And I hope to see each of you giving glory to the Lord in heaven. When I look around there in worship, I just sense this is what it's going to be like in heaven. Everybody raise their hands, praising the Lord, and all redeemed. All broken, but redeemed. So I just cherish this time with each of you. And I'd love to get to know each of you personally, but that won't be allowed probably in a lifetime. But I just hope the best for each of us. And I want to share what something happened in my life that after my wife and I... last week we had the healing service, and I saw the elders up here healing, and I mean praying and anointing and ministering to everybody. And I thought, wow, maybe it's time for me just to give the testimony that the Lord gave me and or shared with you to encourage the faith. Because as we come together, someone brings a song, a testimony, a word of acclamation, or what have you. And I want to bring this testimony quickly. I won't belabor it. Let me get my glasses back here. Let's see. Julie and I started coming here some years ago, as Pastor Parkey said. And when we did, I was in the darkest, probably the most broken part of my lifetime. At that time, you name it, it was broken or it was lost at that time. And you have to pardon me because I may tear up or I may sweat.
All right.
But that's just what's in my heart. Everything was broken. My marriage, my business, all my finances, my family relationships, my self-confidence, my ability to provide for my family, which was kind of the foundational part of me that I saw as valuable or as what my purpose was. But at that time, I repented. And I sought to repair and rebuild what had happened and my relationships. And I wanted to do it on God's terms then and not my own. As I think many men suffer from believing they can do it and they're going to do it their way and they know best. And I was one of them for sure. I had retired after 25 years in a banking career. And I had started a business believing that was what the Lord led me to do. And I do believe it was what He's led me to do. And He brought it to me in an interesting and miraculous way. But I tried very, very hard to succeed in that business. And I spent, I think it was 4 or 5 years working locally and building it. And I was filling my barns in my mind to provide for the welfare of the future. And I was putting my trust there. And I knew in my heart that God was saying, that's not where you're supposed to put your trust. You trust in me. But I was not. I was really looking to, I'm going to build this and provide security. knowing that at some point the Lord who loves me is going to take it away from me, probably, so that I would get back on terms. After several years, ignoring the counsel of my wonderful wife, Julie, sitting back there, I wanted to expand my business, and I decided to do that. I opened an operation in Galveston, Texas, started into a significant government contract, and I hired a bunch of managers who I learned were later corrupt, not knowing it. All this against the counsel of my wife at each step, not to expand in Galveston, not to enter into these contracts, not to hire these particular men. All of them, I thought, well, I think I know best. So God gave us a helpmate for a reason. I'll tell every man out here, and probably everyone of them already knows, and I was just unwise, that your wife is your helpmate. And she's there for God to speak to you when you're not listening. And I wasn't listening. I was hard-headed. So that led to my business failing. I spent a year selling off my assets and closing things down. And with all that, with everything I had, all my debts were finally repaid. And I was about as broken and distressed as you could get. And my marriage was broken and distressed. Yet the Lord encouraged my wife to stay with me, which I'm eternally, eternally grateful for.
Yes.
And that was the first miracle of several. And the beginning of God's mercy and restoration over my life. The Lord gave Julie a verse in Nehemiah 2:18 that said, "Let us rise up and rebuild." Thank goodness. Then my vision, let me make sure I'm getting the right page here. At that point, I was unable to work. After I liquidated my business and sold everything and spent a year, I was mentally broken and unable to get a job. I mean, I literally, if you can imagine this, Home Depot and Lowe's shut me out of their employment testing system. I failed their test so many times to get a minimum wage job, they finally shut me off. I couldn't even apply at Lowe's or Home Depot for the basic job. So I went to one of my suppliers who I had bought from for years and asked him for a job. And he just surprised me, said, "I don't have anything. I don't know what happened." But nevertheless, I couldn't even get a job with somebody that I felt owed me a job. So after all that, I got on my knees in my study, and I just gave up. I said, "Lord, there's nothing I got. There's nothing left in me, and I've got nothing to offer. But I know that you can make this work for me. You can bring me out of this, and you can deliver me." And immediately, once I had given up, the words "call Paul" came into my head. I was like, "Call Paul? What's that?" And then I remembered the man who Paul was, and he was my favorite banking client. He represented my favorite client, if you will, of all time. And I love these folks. I love this company and these people. And I thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to call Paul to refer me to so-and-so. So I called Paul, and I said, "Paul, I think I need your help. Maybe you could refer me to this gentleman that works, that you've known, and refer me for a job there." I wasn't qualified for that job either, but I thought, well, Paul could refer me and get me in. And at the time, he said, "Well, let's talk." And Paul invited me out to meet with him. And subsequently, remembering me from 8 years ago as his banker for his company, he hired me. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what do I do? He's hired me. He doesn't know who I am now. I'm not 10% of who I thought I was at that time, who I thought I was. So he hired me, and I called my wife, and I said, "You won't believe this, but I'm as underqualified as I am overcompensated in this job, but I'm going to take it and go for it." And the Lord helped me through it. And immediately when I took the job, I had no place to stay. And the Lord made me, I had to sit next to Paul in a desk right next to him because my office wasn't built yet. The bad thing was he found out, he saw what had happened to me. But even though not a Christian, he stuck with me. And then, of all things, my vision started to fail. In the midst of all this, trying to fulfill a job I couldn't fulfill in my mind, but without the Lord's help, and the Lord was fulfilling the job with me, my eyes started to fail. I had a retinal detachment. I had glaucoma surgery. I had what's called a macula puckering, which is your retina starts crinkling and wrinkling, and then your vision starts getting distorted, and you see lines of sentences and waves like this, and you really can't read but about at 10% of the level you could before. So my vision was so distorted, I had to hire a driver to drive me an hour to work and drive me home. I had to contact Lighthouse for the Blind and get adaptive computers. I did everything I could to keep my work alive and to make it work, and my boss hung with me. Then we joined Randall Warren's home group at Howard's house, and they prayed for me, and they checked on me after my surgery, and they were there to call Julie and ask about me. They showed the most tremendous brotherly love, you know, that's how it's supposed to be. We're a church, and we love each other, and we pray for each other, and they showed it. They demonstrated it. The odd thing was, one Sunday morning, I was sitting right about over there, and Rhonda walks up here, and I didn't know what was going on, and she goes, "Is Greg Minnick in here?" I was like, "What?" And I was over there, not able to really see very good at all, and I got up, and she goes, "Would you stand up?" And I stood up, and she goes, "Greg, the Lord told me your vision will be healed." I was like, "Ooh, I don't know why you said that, but boy, have you put yourself at risk. How can you know that?" My eyes crinkled. The retina doctor said, he showed me the film. He did all this IV surgery, all this stuff, showed me the film. I won't be able to see. Your eye's not going to change. I can't do surgery. That's all I can do. I'll try to stop it from getting worse. So I was like, "Wow, Rhonda, I'll hold on to your faith." Thank you. But I didn't have anything in me that was doing anything. Rhonda made that proclamation, I know, after a lot of prayers, and the Lord decided it was done in my eyes. And like I say, I couldn't see well. I had a driver. I had 20/70 vision and a lot of blindness. And my vision 3 months later to 4 months later was restored. I literally could drive a race car. I literally could see Pastor Parkey standing up here from back at the back of the auditorium, where I could just see his, roughly before. I could make out his face. I could see if he was smiling. I could read lines perfectly straight. I no longer saw one car big and one car small when I had my eyes one eye closed or open. Everything changed. My vision structure of my eye didn't change. My retina is not healed. My vision has healed. I don't understand it. My glaucoma doctor says, "You're my miracle patient." I couldn't really do the surgery well, but I had one small spot. It shouldn't have worked. It's worked. It's holding. After 2 years, he goes, "I don't understand, but you're my miracle patient." He's a Christian, so he does say, "I understand, of course," but he says, "You're just a miracle, pure miracle patient." So I just, my point in all this is to say that our Father is able and desires to restore us to fullness of joy, to fullness of life. He's waiting on us. I don't want you to have to be broken. And he may take us there, like you'd take your own child there to be broken if it means his life. But thank God the Lord allowed me to be broken and everything removed from me. Thank the Lord. Thank God I no longer have faith in what I can gather up. And now I look to the Lord that he's the one that's providing. And just, I'll tell you something, just last week, he provided for me in a situation that helped a lot of other people that was critical. And it was 6 months ago that he put me into working on something. And he delivered the money on the day that my checking account was totally depleted and all my accounts were depleted. There was no money. He delivered the money on that day, cleared everybody up, and restored what the locust had eaten in a big way, just boom, like that. And he did it after telling me several weeks ago to start praying the prayer of Jabez. I don't believe in trinkets or anything like that. I'm not suggesting that's some magic formula. But the Lord was just taking me there for the purpose of delivering the money on that day. And then that morning, me reading, in my morning reading, the prayer of Jabez. That was my morning reading. So he was saying, "Look, Greg, it's me that gave you that money. You worked at it, but it wasn't you. I prepared all that 6 months ago for all these people and for you, And here it is. And that was his prayer. I mean, that was his purpose in showing me that prayer. I just want to say, we are Christ's body here. We're all incredibly valuable regardless of what we think of ourselves. Please understand that with me. There's no value here except for the price that Christ paid for me. That is our value. That's all we need to think about when the world looks at us and judges us. Christ died for us. He gave his blood for us. There is nothing more valuable than the blood of Christ given for you. So you are immensely valuable in the eyes of the Lord, yes. God, our Father in heaven. He yes. loves you, and you are his invaluable treasure.
So, amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Greg. You know, the Lord has his own way of doing things. You have to just follow him in a service and do what he wants to do. But there are people here today that are at the place of needing some type of change. You're at the place of change. I mean, Greg got to the place where, you know, he was just, everything was broken. And when it looked like something was beginning to restore, then his eye situation came about. And there was just warfare on multiple levels, all right, and miracles that were needed on multiple levels. We've been studying the story of Abraham, and we'll continue that again next week or whenever the Lord allows. But we've been studying his story, and Abraham responded to God first and foremost. He responded to God's call. He heard the voice of God and obeyed the voice of God. But then after that, there needed to be multiple divine interventions along the way. If God didn't divinely intervene, then Abram wasn't going to get where he needed to get. And you heard Greg talking about at least two or three divine interventions that God did along the way when he responded to the word of God. Now his eye, when he goes to the eye doctor and the eye doctor looks at his eye, the retina's still crinkled. But he can see anyway. So how does that happen? That's what we call supernatural. That's not even a natural outflow from a divine healing, okay? The retina's fixed, and so now naturally he can see. That's supernatural. Now he can see with the retina still broken. And I think God did that to show, okay, that he can do anything. He's not limited. This is the same God that spoke to Moses and said, I can do anything. I can spread a table in your wilderness. I can do this. And so I just want to pray. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, me and my family, or just you, I'm at a place of divine intervention. I'm at a place of divine change. God is dealing with me in my life, saying something to me, and I've got to obey that, and there are several interventions that are going to have to take place by God to make this thing happen, okay? And so if you're at the place where you say, Pastor, I'm at a very similar place to that. I'm in the midst of God dealing with me, telling me something, and showing me what to do, and there's some huge changes going on in my life, big ones going on, and I'm going to need God's divine intervention. That's exactly where I am. If that's you, I just want to pray with you, okay? How many of you, anybody here say, that's me, that's where I'm at? Well, come on down. I want to ask the elders to come down if they can, those that can, and pastors, home group leaders. I want to pray for these folks. Almighty God that we serve. Everybody out there, let's just stretch our hands out toward the people that are down here, because some of them are facing huge changes, big changes coming. And God, if God is in their transition, then He'll do what He has said He's going to do. But let's stretch our hands out down here toward them. Father, we come before You today with our faith and our trust completely in what You can do. There are people down here that have no answers in the natural for what they're facing. None. Zero. There are people down here that have been told by doctors or other people that there is no answer. There are people that are standing down here that You have told them to take a step of the impossible. It's just, they can't make happen what You've told them to do. There are people down here that You have talked to and You have told them what to do, and they're scared to death. They're absolutely petrified because, God, this is such a stretch for them. It is such a stretch for them that, Lord God, it's challenging everything within them. There are people down here, God, that need to hear a word from You, that need to know what You're doing, what You want them to do. There are people down here, Lord God, that have been knowing about change for quite a while. And God, it's a huge step. It's a huge step, like Greg talked about. There are men and women down here that are responsible for providing for others, for family members. And Lord, You are stirring them. You are stirring them, and they're like, oh, my Lord, what about my family? What about my children? And God, You are telling them today to hear Your voice and to trust You. One word from God is better than six jobs. One word from the Lord is better than a bank loan. One word from God is better than 6 degrees. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we speak strength and anointing over those that are down here. And we also pray for divine intervention. Now, you may not be down here, but in the body of Christ, we're connected. So take their burden like it was yours, okay, and pray that way. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for breakthrough and victory. We pray in the name of Jesus for the impossible to happen for the glory of God. We pray, Lord Jesus, for divine healings that would defy man's diagnosis. We pray, Father God, for doors to open that only You can open. We pray, mighty God, that relationship changes will occur that can only occur through the divine brokenness that comes through Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray that You will make the hard-hearted repent. We pray, Lord God, that You would provide and open the windows of heaven and pour out upon those that are down here the provision that they need. We pray, mighty God, that You would give them favor, that You would bring their name to the top of the list, in a list of names and options and opportunities. We pray, Father God, that Your word would create what it needs to be created in their life for them to be able to see that they are following You and the divine breakthrough has come from You and the word is of You. The same God that said to Moses, I can spread a table in the wilderness. Lord, we thank You that You are spreading a table in what appears to be nothing in their life. We thank You, Father God, that you are revealing yourself. Charles, don't be afraid. I really feel like the Holy Spirit's been showing me for a long time. There's been change brewing in your life, Charles, for a long time. I think you've been knowing it. It's tough change. Some of it's really difficult. And you know what? But I believe that the Lord is showing you it's just been hard. It's been hard to do this because of your age. You looked at yourself and you thought, well, I've poured so much into this part of my life. There's doors open for you, Charles. There's doors already open. They're open. They're invisible to you, but they're open. And the Lord is just saying, you do the first step that I show you, Charles, and I'll show you the open door. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that he is a man of God, and he has put aside every fear and every doubt and every concern. And even if it looks like he's going to start completely over, that he's about to walk out a great adventure with God and about to see God move in ways that he's never seen it before. And I give you praise for it, Lord. I give you thanks for it, Lord, over every single person in this altar, that the power of the Holy Spirit of God is going to use them and touch them and walk them on a miracle pathway. Some of you are so distressed because you don't know what's going on. You know what? That's part of walking a miracle pathway. All you've got to do is offer yourselves a living sacrifice to God every single day, saying, God, I'll do anything you tell me to do. And God's going to work it out. He's the one. He's responsible for all of that. Your job is just to enjoy him and praise him. And when you don't know what step to take, just look at your spouse and say, well, here we are at the moment of a miracle. At the moment of a miracle. We're God's children. Here we are. We could care less what anybody else says about us or what they think about our decisions, as long as we have followed the Lord. We know we'll be safe. So God, I thank you for miracle moments. Miracle moments. In the precious name of Jesus, for the glory of God. Thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. You know, we had several words today, and one of the words had to do with first. And that's really the key that kicks everything off spiritually. And I know many of you have looked at the Lord and you've said, Lord, you're first in my life. But first, some of you, what you're fighting against is fear. And you have to look to the first, and what he's telling you to do, you have to sacrifice your fear to that. And you have to be willing, hey, I mean, if we look silly to other people, it's not our intent necessarily, but if that's what happens and they don't understand it, because some people are not going to understand the step you're going to take. They're not going to understand it. And maybe some people close to you. And they're going to look at you and they're going to go, what are you doing? I knew you were a little off, but now I'm really concerned about you. And their fear for you will begin to cause them to speak. Their fear, because your faith is challenging their fear. Your faith is challenging their lack of having God in first place, maybe. And they're like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And you just have to go with Jesus. Okay? Go with Jesus. And if you're not sure what he's telling you to do is him, ask for confirmation. He'll give it to you. Talk to your pastors. Talk to your elders, and sit down and get them to pray with you. But I sense there are some tough decisions that somebody's going to have to make. Somebody's going to have to alter everything. Whole order of everything's going to kind of be turned on its head and to align with God. You know? Well, this is the way I've always done it, Lord. He says, well, that's not the way we're going to do it from now on. From now on, you'll hear me and you'll do it what I tell you to do, and I'll be with you. All right. Everybody, let's lift our hands for a second. Father, we give you praise for miracle moments. Somebody, God may be telling to break off an association that you've been depending upon to pay the bills. But you know it's not godly. It's not good. You say, God, how am I going to support myself if I break off that association? And the Lord says, me? I'll do it. So, Father, we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And we thank you for your goodness and your unfailing love. Jesus' precious name. And now we're going to say amen, but you know what amen means? Amen means so be it. So whatever God is telling you to do, when you say amen to it, you're going to be saying, so be it, God, I'll do it. I'll be it, and I'll let you take care of the rest. Okay? So if you mean that, on the count of three, let's say amen. One, two, three. Amen. Amen. Praise God.